This is 7210, a podcast production of Southwestern Christian University about events, sports, songs, and generally life on the campus. This show is produced by Dr. Kathleen Skinner, and I am your host, David Rowan. Now let's get to today's podcast. All right, so we're here today with Dr. Skinner from the Linguistics Department. My name is David Roman. I'm from the Creative Arts Department. And our guest today is Robert Link, our registrar. Robert, how long have you been at the university?
I originally started in 2009 as a student. I graduated in 2013 with my Bachelor's of Business Administration degree. And then I continued on at West Texas A&M for my master's, and then but through that period of time I worked as the assistant registrar, and then I moved up into the registrar position. So been here probably about almost 9 years, eight, 9 years.
Yes,
yeah, just about as long as Dr. Roman, or Professor Roman.
Yeah, about the same. We came the same. 2009 was when I came as well. I remember you as a student. And and so there is life after graduation.
There is.
That's cool. Careers.
Very good. You've been the registrar now. You were assistant registrar for a couple years, and now the head position. So you've been through this whole enrollment process several times.
Oh, yes.
Know what's going on. You saw the implementation of the thing where we audit the grades, the CAMS process.
Yes.
Which has been really helpful for those of us who want to know quick information. And you've seen a lot of kids graduate.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kids almost graduate.
I have, yes.
And you've seen a lot of enrollments. One of our things for me in our department is that getting kids to actually just take time to push those buttons is really tough. It's pretty simple,
yeah,
right?
The whole process. It's pretty simple once they know how to do it. And I've put manuals up on their student portals to understand how to register for classes and how to see their different degree audits and things like that.
So all that information is available to them.
Yes, it's on the front page. As soon as they log into their student portal, it's right there in the links on the front page. Just the student has to look at that front page, of course. So.
But it's available for them to know where they are in their process. What a deal. Before we get into the actual enrollment, one of the things we're talking about in the different groups that I'm involved in is this idea that in order to graduate in 4 years, a student needs to take an average of 15 credit hours a semester.
Yes, yes.
Now, some students who are finishing a 128-hour degree have 16 credits, but our degrees are 120 hours now, most
yes,
of them?
Yes, yes. Originally, most of our degrees were 128 hours. However, they scaled them all except for maybe two to 120 hours. I think there's two theology degrees that require 121 just because of a specific class needs an additional one credit hour, but all the rest of the degrees are listed at 120 hours now. So that'll help students significantly graduate. I've been working on final degree audits for graduating people in December. We should have around 40 graduate candidates for our December conferral date.
Wow.
And
that's very impressive.
There's probably about 20 of those students who are going to graduate in December rather than in May because of that step back of 8 hours for their program. So it's going to help significantly in the future for other students to graduate on time.
Which is kind of nice.
It's pretty amazing.
Oh, it's great.
So by being on time, that means 4 years.
Yes, yes, 4 years.
Mine was a 6-year degree.
And does that require summer enrollments too, or just
fall spring semesters. So, and then if they want to push it a little bit and do some intercession classes in the spring or in the fall, then they're more than welcome to do that. They could get out in 3.5 to 3 years if they really push it. So,
Well, we want to get to the enrollment process itself because that starts next week. But before we do that, I want to just briefly ask you about what majors we have and then maybe what process, if a student wants to change majors or is looking at being a music major, how they go about that process.
Okay. We have about, I think we have about 33 degrees right now, different programs.
And we've added a couple, haven't we?
Yeah, we have added a couple. We have business, we have Christian studies, we have sports studies, we have linguistics with English, we have, what's some others? We just introduced some new education programs as well.
Did we include criminal studies?
Yes. We have our psychology and behavioral science department, which also reintroduced a new program. So the psychology and behavioral sciences department has their human services degree. They actually phased it out in about 2011 or 2012, but they're reintroducing that this year with a concentration in criminal justice. So we only had one class for criminal justice previously, so they've added a couple more classes in that area. So any student that's interested in doing criminal justice or going into, you know, governmental politics around this area or in their local areas, that'll be a great program for them.
Governmental politics, a criminal justice degree. There you go.
There you go.
Politicians and criminals in the same room.
And then the
wait a minute, the same. No, I better shut up. All in my head.
The other two big new degrees that we added are early childhood development education and elementary education. These are our two newest professional teacher education programs. The early childhood will help a student, once they graduate, get certification to teach pre-K through third grade. And then the elementary education will help them get their certification to teach from first through eighth grade. So those are two exciting new programs for us. And then on top of that, we have history education, English education, and physical education. So those are all, those other three are also professional teacher education programs that'll help get their certifications to teach in Oklahoma. So,
and are those three maybe secondary education, 9th through 12th grade, or do you know?
Physical, I believe they are more focused on the secondary.
I know physical education is a pre-K-12 certification.
Okay, so it's...
But the others are...
Okay, the others are probably... 9th through 12th,
right, secondary. Okay. And then creative arts, of course, we have
several different degree programs, Bachelor of Music in Performance and Bachelor of Music in Business and Technology, which are both heavily concentrated on music. And then the Bachelor of Arts in Performance is a more general music degree program, and our Bachelor of Arts in Worship Arts, which is a transition from the Bachelor of Music in Worship Arts. Our Bachelor of Arts in Worship Arts is a music degree, but it has more theology and some business in it that helps someone who's interested in going into church music, mm-hmm. Leading worship, in any kind of church, really. So a lot of things going on, a lot of great degrees. I know that the chairman are always thinking about new ways to appeal to students.
Oh yeah, there's been just this past year, a lot of departments made a few changes pretty much to every program we have. They've made different class swaps just to kind of narrow down their degrees to really offer classes that are really going to help students out in the workforce.
Right, to be career ready,
yes.
To be able to be employable when they finish with in a career that they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, employable is good. So before we talk enrollment, what are you listening to on your podcast these days?
Honestly, I listen to the only podcast I've really listened to lately is called The Dirtbag Diaries. and that it's different stories from around the U.S. of just different people who go out in nature, and maybe they go kayaking or maybe they go hiking in the mountains, things like that. So okay. That's what I've pretty been cool. listening to recently.
That's all right. Sounds like fun, different stories, and it gives you a break from school.
Yes.
You need that for sure. We have basically three different programs or three different ways of doing school. We have the traditional program, which most of our students are in. We have the online program and the adult studies program. Are the enrollment processes the same for those? Do they happen at the same time? Are there differences in how that happens?
Well, in the future, it will be all the same for registration in these in the different modules or the different modes of offering the classes. Right now, traditional classes, students can enroll through their portal. When they log in, they can go to registration and then they can click on the classes to register for in their student portals. The online and the night adult classes, the courses will be listed on our website, but they have to fill out a manual enrollment form to send through to our office. Now, coming in fall of 18, we're looking of putting those classes also online for registration, so they won't have to do the manual enrollment forms anymore.
And you won't have to handle all those papers.
And I won't have to handle all those papers. So it's a win-win for the students and for my office. So
what do you mean when you say manual process?
There is on the student on the front page of the student portal, there's a add course form and a drop course form. And basically they click on those forms and then they basically have to manually type in the department and number and the name of the course to be enrolled into it. Whereas the traditional classes, it's got the list of classes up there. They just put a checkbox next to the class they want to enroll into.
Right.
So it's not super hard. It's just a little bit of manual work.
Right.
And they have to go to the course schedule on our website to bring up the list of those non-traditional type classes.
Is that mobile friendly, or is that something they have to do sitting at a desktop?
Which part?
The manual.
The
like
manual.
If you're going to take an online course or an adult studies course.
All of our manual forms are hosted on Google on the Google structure that they've put together. So it's all mobile friendly to do the mobile manual forms.
Right.
So it's not an issue at all.
Okay, very good. So now to the traditional enrollment process. Let's start with, I know that it starts this week.
Yes, starts on next Monday, actually.
Monday the 9th, I think.
So what that looks like is I already have advisors contacting me, getting degree audits updated in their portals and things like that. So some of our students are starting to meet with their advisors, looking at the course schedule that's posted right now on our website, and kind of getting an idea of what classes they should take. And then that advisement period will continue all through the rest of the year. We encourage students to do it this week and next week just so they can get into classes before they fill up. But the student will meet with their advisor and they'll look at the classes that they've taken for how long they've been here. They may look at transfer classes from other universities that they transferred in. And then they'll look at the schedule and see and kind of put together a plan for the next semester or two, maybe even three semesters, just looking at taking into consideration different course rotations that we have. And then they'll set them on their way of a list of classes to go enroll into. Then the student will go into their portal and click the little check boxes next to the classes they need to take. And then they save registration and then it's done. They're registered for classes and good to go. What was I going to say?
While you're thinking about that, I'm going to ask you this question. If someone wants to take a private lesson for piano or guitar or voice or some instrument, or if they want to be in one of our ensembles, their advisor has to be the one who actually enrolls them in that class, because those are by permission.
Yes, yes.
Are there other classes that are like that?
I'm trying to think. I don't believe so. I think the one-on-one private lessons are pretty much done manually. I don't think there's any other classes that are by permission only. Now, if a freshman or sophomore wants to take an upper division class, they may have to get permission to do that.
So if there's a prerequisite, for example, that they...
Yeah, or if there's a prerequisite on the class that they haven't taken, then they'll have to get special permission from that department. But as a strict, like, a student has to have permission no matter what, I think it just applies to the private lessons. So,
and then what about the athletics? I see some students registered for a sport, some not. Mm-hmm. Some who are on a team are not registered for a sport. Some are registered in varsity athletics. Some are registered in specific sports. What are they supposed to do?
For our athletes, we do have a large athletic population here. What they're supposed to do is enroll into their sport either for one hour of credit or for no credit. Now, if they do enroll for the one credit, they will get charged a fee for the one credit. And then once they enroll into their sport, it'll request them to enroll into varsity sports, which applies the insurance fee to their account. We provide some insurance for our athletes, and so that fee pays for their insurance, basically. So,
right.
So every athlete should enroll into their sport. So,
now, are there considerations for those, for the athletes? Do they have to take a certain number of academic hours to maintain eligibility?
For eligibility, they need to at least take 12 hours minimum. I believe to be eligible to play, if they're continuing on in their program, they have to have a minimum of 24 hours within the last two semesters. And so students need to work hard to make sure they have 24 sure. hours total
right.
within the
Thank
last
you.
Two semesters to be eligible to play. So
right.
They are required for that. And to receive scholarships, their athletic scholarships, they have to be enrolled full time. So,
yeah. On the enrollment process, in the past we've had like seniors on Monday, juniors on Tuesday. Is it just open enrollment, or are there specific dates?
Yeah, we phased that out about maybe a year or a year and a half ago. We decided we used to do phases where seniors were allowed to go first, and then juniors, sophomores, and then freshmen at last. But what we found is we did a trial run where we just left it open for everybody, and we really didn't see any difference between having it open and having it closed. And so we've just since then left it open for everybody to register at the same time.
Okay.
We haven't found any issues yet, so...
So it's more like a first-come, first-served.
Yes, it's first-come,
first-served. You want to take a class, you better get her done.
Yes.
If you don't
want
to have to be in 7:45, then you got to be enrolled first.
Yep, you got to enroll first. So, I mean, if the open, it opens technically at 12:01 a.m., so if the students stay up to midnight on Sunday night, then they can go in there and get first-come, first-served. So
they can watch Vicar of Dibley on Channel 13 and then enroll.
There you go.
What a life. I miss those days. Not. Okay, so what else do we need to know about enrollment?
I mean, I think that's pretty much the gist of it. Just make sure to meet with your advisor. Look at the if it's a student listening right now, look at your degree audit that's posted in your student portal. It'll be updated. It has all the classes that you've taken and all the classes that you'll need to earn your degree.
Okay.
And so they just need to be on top of it and look at those resources that are available to them, and then also meet with their advisor and have them, because the advisors know the programs the best because they're in their specific field. So
let's come back to that question that's burning in my brain is, if a student wants to change majors, they need to talk to the advisor and the new... What's the process for changing major?
Okay, so any student can change their major at any point. It's really simple to do. There's a link on the front page of their student portal that says, do you want to change your major? And you click on that, and it goes to the change of major form. It's honestly really simple. You just type in your name, email address, some contact information, and then you select your new major. Before they do that, they should definitely meet with that department they're looking at going into and see which classes might be able to work towards that new degree and which might not. So, if they're a junior, a second semester junior or a senior looking at changing their major, all their classes that they've taken in their current program may not transfer over to the new program. Right. So they definitely need to meet with that other department first to make sure that, you know, they're not losing 30 hours or something like that. Right. So
losing more than a year.
Yeah.
So what about dates then? It opens, enrollment opens tomorrow, Monday the 9th. Does it close before the end of the semester?
It does not. So registration for the spring will, in the portal, it'll stay open up until December 31st.
Okay.
So registration after December 31st will all have to be done manually through the manual forms on the front page of the student portal. So,
add drop. Form.
Yeah, through the add and drop forms. So
they need to do it before Christmas break.
They need to meet with their advisor and things like that. They do definitely need to do it before Christmas break. If they meet with their advisor before Christmas break and just, you know, they can sit around and wait anytime before December 31st, they can go in their student portal and enroll.
But that wreaks havoc on financial aid, on billing, on their basketball coach or whoever's their whoever's expecting them back.
So really,
a lot of problems there.
Really, October and November should be the real good times to get enrolled. Make sure all the financial aid stuff is in order. Make sure all the athletic scholarships are on the students' accounts who are athletes and things like that. So just the best way to make a student's experience run more smoothly is to just do it early.
Right.
Yeah. Get her done.
You've got you and then Mason Pinion.
Yes.
Your assistant registrar.
Yes, Mason Pinion, my assistant. And then I have a student worker as well.
If a student has questions about all this stuff, is it better to come to you, to Mason, to their advisor? Who do they go to?
Mason would be the best person to go to up front. And then if there's any specific issues or complicated issues with scheduling or anything, they can always come to me. Okay. So.
I know I have a number of students who, about this time of year, start saying, I don't know who my advisor is. How do they find out?
Well, it's on their portal. Once they log into their portal, if they scroll down, it's on the left-hand side. It'll say, like, my grades or letter grades. Basically, it's a grade report page.
Okay.
If they click on that, it'll have their advisor at the very top of the page. I believe their advisor is also listed in their degree audit. So if they go to their degree audit page and look at what classes they need, it should have their advisor listed at the top of that page as well. So
good.
Those are two ways they can find out who their advisor are.
If there's anything else about registration or enrollment that we need to know, we can call.
Yep, you can call me and call Mason for more information, but that's pretty much the gist of it. So,
well, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks. Really, thank you for having me.
We hope that enrollment goes smoothly and that kids get this understanding that early is better.
Yes, early is always better.
Especially coming in the next spring. Early is better.
One question that leads me to want to ask about summer. Next summer, we have a selection of classes available.
Yes.
And so would they enroll for summer at the same time?
Yes, our summer classes will be posted with the rest of the other classes that'll open on Monday. And so their section numbers are one sum for summer. But
okay.
We do have some summer intercession classes that students can enroll into.
Oh, cool.
So.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head what we are offering this summer?
I believe the majority are some sports classes. I believe there might be one or two in the Christian Studies department.
Are there any general ed courses being offered this summer?
There are online.
Okay.
I know there are some online classes being offered in May and June. But for on-campus intercession classes, I don't think they have any general ed right now lined up. That may change in the future. Some departments may add a class or two. Mm-hmm. And so if that happens, okay, I'll add it in on the schedule. So
very good. We got some exciting stuff coming up. I mean, enrollment starts Monday. Also then Tuesday we have the cultural dinner at 7 o'clock. Also Tuesday night is the jazz band and choir concert at 7 o'clock in Collins Chapel.
And that's a really special one this time because of Professor Seth Cutt.
Right. Professor Cutt has written a composition commemorating and memorializing the life of Jay Brand, Dr. Lacombe's husband who passed away this summer. And that's going to be a special time for them, for the choir and the jazz band, playing that together.
Come to the cultural dinner. Enjoy your favorite breakfast from around the world and go to the jazz and choral concert.
You should probably go to the choir concert first and then go to the cultural dinner because they both start at 7 for some reason.
All right.
Thursday, tell this Walk of Remembrance.
Thursday night is the Walk of Remembrance. That's part of the Christian Thought Forum, and we invite everybody to come and information provided, but we'll be meeting at the base of on Northwest 39th and gathering to walk in memory or memorializing a group dear to your heart that has suffered. So be thinking about who you would like to who you'd like to walk for and carry a light for that would spread light in the darkness.
And that's part of that whole concept of diversity, unity and diversity, which I think is the basis, the theme behind our Cultural Diversity Day on Friday, the 13th.
Correct. We have a number of very special speakers coming and activities.
What a busy week.
Yes.
It's going to be fun. And then the next week after that, we get to break. So go all out. Don't sleep. Start enrollment process on the 9th. Come to the choir concert on the 10th, be done with the enrollment process by the 11th, and then walk to remember that on the 12th, and on the 13th, come and sit and listen and be diverse, and then take a break.
Hopefully the cultural dinner will turn out pretty well this year. I think we have a very diverse undergraduate body here. Mm-hmm. I think we're about 10 or 13% international this year. So it's a pretty large international population we have. So
that's great.
Well, I know Crystal Robertson has encouraged even those of us who are white bread, so to speak, to think about the subgroups that we're a part of and how we might represent that with a special breakfast food that we.
All right.
So maybe Cheerios.
Yeah. And one of those subgroups is professors offering midterms and students taking midterms.
That's right.
Which is also snuck into next week. Because it's the midterms week. Oh my gosh. I'm overwhelmed just thinking about it.
Right. Well, get involved. Become a part of the SCU community and you'll succeed.
Yeah. Robert, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Skinner, thank you. And we'll see you all next time.
Thank you for tuning in today for our podcast, 7210. 7210 is a production of Southwestern Christian University, produced by Dr. Kathleen Skinner, and I'm David Roman, your host. Check out the university on our website at www.swcu.edu and find out more about the over 30 different degree programs that we offer. The campus is located at 7210 Northwest 39th Expressway in Bethany, Oklahoma, with branches in Tulsa and around the world.